Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite AfterBuzz TV after show begins, I'm so excited to tell you that my new cookbook is out. It's called The Every Girl's Guide to Cooking. It's the quickest, fastest, easiest, most amazing recipes for kitchen newbies and chefs alike. Please check out MariaMenounos.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing after shows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome back, After Buzzers, back to After Buzz TV. We are here doing Grey's Anatomy. Odd Man Out. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. And joining me, I have
Jay Howard, and you can follow me at JF Howard.
Excellent, excellent. Odd Man Out. Jay, what were your overall thoughts of this episode?
Well, when you first said Odd Man Out, I knew that was the title of the episode, but I thought you were, I don't know, I forgot. I thought you were calling me the Odd Man Out for some reason, like for a half second.
Nah,
I don't feel that way. I feel pretty cool.
You're very much in.
Okay, thank you.
There you go.
Overall, it was okay. It didn't knock my socks off, and the reason that it was okay was because you and I talked about this before we even came on here. We both enjoyed both of the patient stories.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of like, they were like uplifting and lighthearted, which I liked. But I don't feel like, save the last 30 seconds of the episode, which we'll get to,
mm-hmm.
except for the last 30 seconds of the episode, I don't really feel like much of the plot moved forward in this episode.
I agree. I don't feel like this was an episode for a big character development.
Mm-hmm.
The patient stories, both of them, were very interesting and intriguing that kept me watching throughout the whole episode. But the other side subsidiary topics
mm-hmm.
weren't as intriguing as and weren't as good as the patients.
So here's my question.
They weren't up to par.
Here's my question. If you're making a show all about, and I don't mean to be a complainer, forgive me if I'm a complainer. I don't mean to be. But if you're making a show all about the relationships of these doctors, why make an episode where nothing really moves forward in the plot? What's the purpose of that?
I think right now, because I think last episode, and we've had a couple episodes, especially this season, I mean, of course, throughout the whole show, but like this season, we've had episodes that were like directly for the relationships, and we saw a lot of character development. We had to go back a few years to get more backstories for, I mean, so they dedicate, so there are episodes where they actually dedicate time
mm-hmm.
to the relationships,
mm-hmm.
and I felt like this was an episode that was more dedicated to the actual medicine that they were practicing.
But isn't the medicine and aren't the patients just a vehicle to move those relationships forward?
Generally, yes. In the normal storytelling that they do on the show, yes.
I need an answer.
This episode, no.
Okay.
I'm going to say no.
I'm like attacking you like you wrote the show. I'm sorry.
No, but that's good. We're analyzing this.
Yes. Sometimes it just feels like a filler. It just felt a little bit like a filler episode to me.
Yeah, because we still, and I don't mean to jump ahead, but we got questions, but we still didn't get the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And there were questions from last week, and we still didn't get the answers.
Exactly, yes.
So, no, it did not move the stories forward, did not move the relationships forward, did not have any character growth within anybody,
mm-hmm.
which is upsetting.
The thing is, I do feel like next week we'll probably get back to business and get some
meaty answers.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
The meat and potatoes of it all. I agree. So let's just start with Amelia and Blake, patient number one.
Mm-hmm.
They had the 75-year-old man who ran his car into an electrical pole and got electrocuted. Not good.
When I first heard that, I thought they said electrical bull, like one of those bulls you ride. And I was like, that was such an odd choice.
Why would a 75 manual be on
that? Why do you run an extra electrical bull?
Like a mechanical bull?
Yeah, and I have it written here in my notes. Patient runs car into electrical bull. And I literally didn't know that it was pole until you just said it just now. So
really?
Yeah.
So, now knowing bull. That fact, Now, what do you think of this patient and its storyline, how they execute it? We'll get into it, but what did you think of the story?
It was good.
Does it make sense now?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I think I was just focused. So I was like, where's the bull going to come in? Like, just waiting for a cowboy to enter or something. No, it was good. It was a little sad, I think, you know, sad for all involved.
It ended on a sad note, but let's actually preface this. At the beginning of the episode, we saw Weber. He's seeing that all the residents are complacent with the attendings. Mm-hmm. Like, they're all getting along, and there's really not a lot of drama in that, per se. And I think Weber actually, like, gets kicks out of it. That he's like, hey, I like it when people aren't liking or, you know, aren't doing... Mm-hmm. what they want, because everyone seems happy, and that's not right.
Right.
People should be fighting for what they want.
And so he makes everyone dry. They're all in the bedpan. You know, it's just funny. He makes everyone draw whatever names out of a bedpan for, like, different...
The residents have to draw the names of the attendees.
Right, right. Okay, I guess that makes more sense, because I was watching it, I was like, is that even possible for people to go to new specialties? Does that even make sense? But I guess if it's residents, they're still learning, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it is a teaching school, so
I guess it makes
they
sense.
Have to just all make the rounds around, like, every single right. area at yeah. the hospital. But so, Blake is paired up with Amelia. Amelia's not having it.
Mm-hmm.
So, during this that Blake missed... You know, has the misunderstanding and tells Amelia that the wife is there. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's not the wife.
It's not. It's
the
mistress.
Side chick. Yeah, yes. The mistress. That's what I have, mistress. Lena. And Amelia's not happy.
And then they go and...
And then the actual wife shows up.
Right, and they're talking to... they're talking to... the real wife, and she's just waiting for him to die.
To die.
So she gets $30 million.
What do you think of this wife and just how they portrayed her?
You know, was she kind of like an old famous actress? I feel like I read something online about, like, people were kind of talking like,
she
oh.
She looked familiar.
Her name's Rita something?
I'm going to look up her name.
I think that she is like a... I mean, not to this, but like a Sally
She's
Field
pretty.
Or someone like that, who's like kind of like an older, respected actress.
Yeah.
Because I saw online that they were talking. Rita something is her name.
Haywood?
Rita Haywood.
Rita Haywood. That would make sense if that was her. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Producer,
thank
sir.
You.
We appreciate that. Rita Haywood.
She's been in a lot of great movies.
Has
in
she?
The 60s.
Okay. We probably just don't recognize her since it's been.
That doesn't, in fairness, it's not our generation.
Yes.
But she did look familiar to me.
She looked good.
She was pretty.
How old
was
she? Like, well, she was.
I can't do the math right now.
She was old, but she, you know, props to her.
I liked how she, you know, she immediately dismissed Lena. She's like, I'm the wife, and we had a prenup that is very tight, like her Spanx.
Her Spanx.
That was
a good
funny.
Line. Yeah.
But during that. Did we ever get his name? The patient's name? They just said 75-year-old man.
I don't even think they gave him
a name.
Bob. His name's Bob.
Bob.
Bob the patient. Bob the bull rider.
John Doe. So he wakes up and he loses his memory mm-hmm. due to, you know, brain injuries and whatnot. I mean,
from the bull.
Loses about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a significant amount of time.
And here, just, I gotta point this out because it bothered me. A little plot hole. Is he lost his memory for 30 years, but yet recognized his wife? You know what I'm saying?
Who's 30 like, years older.
Bob the Bull Rider.
33 years older.
Like, something's gone terribly awry.
I noticed that too, but I'll let that be.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we'll let it ride.
After literally just following up that, you know, the wife saying that he's not the same man that I married. He loves his money. He doesn't care about me. I'm just waiting for him to die. And
mm-hmm.
then we go. He wakes up literally to the point before he became the man that she just described to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting how that played out.
That's okay though.
It is.
It's a TV show.
Yeah.
Stop overthinking it, guys.
It was cute though because he calls her Bugs,
which I guess
her
nickname.
Which is an old nickname,
right?
But unfortunately, he passes out, and then medical emergency. And we see Blake actually comes.
She
to
gets
the
into
rescue.
It. She's
what
getting
do you think of Blake during this moment?
She's getting stronger every episode. We see something from her. She's getting stronger, right?
She's having her moments to shine.
She's getting there. She's gonna be the next Meredith.
Has to drill burr holes and whatnot.
It's gonna be Blake's anatomy before you know it.
Ooh.
She's getting stronger and stronger.
Would people, if you call it Blake's anatomy, would people still tune in?
No.
No, probably
she's
not.
Cool, but she's not that cool. No. She's not that engaging. No, but she steps up and she gives him the cranial.
The
ventriloquist. Yeah. The cranial ventriloquist.
The ventricle. Something.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I don't
That's
know
the
medical
word.
Terms.
Yes.
But I did right before that. Actually, that was on the other patient that we'll get to.
I would like to say for the record, I know that it's not a ventriloquist.
Okay? No.
I don't want a bunch of YouTube. I don't want a bunch of YouTube comments like, Jay, a ventriloquist is a doll. I know.
A ventriloquist is a person who
right.
uses
You get
doll.
What I'm saying. You get yes. what I'm saying. But so she operates.
Yes, she does.
And then Amelia comes in and she is
Amelia's
pissed.
Still not happy.
She's not cool.
As per usual.
And she's just unhappy just because
Penny's doing her job.
And you think, so I guess that makes you, I guess
but
it kind of makes
also,
her nervous.
Okay, in fairness, Amelia was used to Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
And then because of the whole resident with attendee switched, she got so used to her resident that she's like, okay, now I have to deal with someone that I don't know, mm-hmm. Blake.
It just seemed like she was extra mad, and I was kind of like, I don't know why she's that mad. Like,
see, I like Amelia, and I'll say this every episode, I like Amelia, but there are moments where she over-exaggerates and over-reacts.
Are you saying the character or the actress?
The character.
Okay.
Like, during certain situations, she overreacts.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, because we do see Blake actually saves the patients.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment.
Yep.
And she was doing the right thing. She made the right medical call. And Amelia was upset. But in that moment, you have to, I'd say for Amelia, she has to realize that it's like, hey, she did what was best for the patient.
Yeah.
She just wasn't there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a good way to say it. Sometimes the character, not the actress, overdoes it a little bit. And maybe that's as a result of some of her, like, addictive personality. Like, you could...
Maybe.
That's, like, kind of built into her character is kind of the overreactions and the...
True.
Addictive, compulsive.
Well, there was the one moment where Amelia was talking to Riggs, I believe, and she says that she does have personal issues with Blake because also, again, Blake was part of Derek's,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, untimely death in
right.
that situation. So, and Derek was Amelia's sister. Like, she does have a personal connection. I get that. So you got to remember there is another personal reason why she's overreacting because it's Blake dealing with another patient of hers.
Yeah.
But what do you think of Amelia and Blake during the actual surgery and we find out we actually lose the patient?
You know, that was actually a really good, it was a good feel good moment. It was a good feel good moment when she said, you know, it was basically asking, was it my fault that he died?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Amelia reassured her and said, no, it wasn't your fault.
Yep,
and then
you were
we see,
perfect.
Yeah, that's
she
right.
Said
yeah,
perfect.
She said, you were perfect. Yeah, that's a good point. And then at the very end, she comes to the realization of like, man, I need to mentor her and teach her. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach her. So mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I liked how Amelia had that revelation because I believe it was Meredith had that same reaction to Blake too. So like, I'm gonna teach Blake, and I liked how Amelia picked it up. Like, hey, Blake is talented. She does have the skills and the knowledge and the instinct for this. So I'm gonna teach it. This is a teaching school.
Do you think they're positioning Blake to be? I mean, we kind of joked about it, but do you think they're positioning her to kind of move into that slot?
A bigger role?
Yeah.
In the neurosurgeon?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, to be a legit mainstay, keystone character of the show.
I think they're trying to set her up. I think maybe just as for character development, she's not as engaging or she doesn't have a strong enough personal story for us to believe she can be an awesome, awesome neurosurgeon.
That's my thing, is she just doesn't seem that dynamic. And I don't know if it's the character or if it might be the acting.
Mm.
Or what it is, but the character doesn't seem that dynamic to me to be able to become a keystone character.
I can see that there, but we do know that she is capable of stepping up when she needs to,
mm-hmm.
and she's capable of saying things when she needs to. Because mm-hmm. we saw in the episode when you know Meredith was trying to see her kids and her jaw was wired and whatnot, and Blake stepped up and actually talked back. So like she has her moments where she can actually rise to the occasion, but I think for character, I don't think her character herself is strong enough to keep us as engaged for a lead
mm-hmm.
role,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a big, big lead role.
Right.
We'll see. Okay, so, you know, they do lose the patient. And also, Amelia, at the beginning of the episode, she's going on a date with Owen, and at the end of that, when she loses her patient, they're not going on a date anymore. They play with the puppies.
Yes.
That's cute.
That's the kind of date that I would love to go on. Just puppies.
I would love that, too.
You don't need anything else. Just put puppies. Me near some puppies. For sure.
Puppies lower the blood pressure, and they make you happy.
So, patient two.
Patient two. Before we get to patient back up. Two.
Oh, yes.
Before we move on.
Let's talk about something real quick.
If you guys are big fans of AfterBuzz TV, you should be big fans of our creators, Kevin Undergaro mm-hmm. and Maria Menounos. Mm-hmm. They're brilliant. They're brilliant. And they're definitely our inspirations and the reason why we're here, AfterBuzz TV. But they actually have a new show. It's called The Tomorrow Show. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty awesome. You should definitely listen. So, for you listeners, listen to another show. It's called The Tomorrow Show on, get it, thetomorrowshow.com.
No Tomorrow. They should make that the website.
Yeah. It actually is the website.
Perfect.
So go to thetomorrowshow.com. They have a new talk show. And if you love, you know, Hollywood behind-the-scenes stories and whatnot, they're chock full of them, Kevin and Maria. They've been in this industry for years. And it's a bunch of, they have a lot of fun. It's a bunch of millennials that dress up in Star Trek costumes, and they're talking about the world. It's mm-hmm. awesome.
Absolutely. And I was watching the trailer about the first episode. It was really funny. Really funny.
Yes.
The personalities that they have on there are going to be very complimentary. Very funny. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And the personalities. And, you know, part of some of our good AfterBuzz friends, Roxy Starr, Ashley yeah. Daniels, Lauren LaGrasso, they're also part of it. Go check them out. So that's Mondays and Thursday nights they do their show from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And also download their show. It's on iTunes. It's absolutely free,
mm-hmm.
just like we are.
And if you like it, leave it a review.
Yeah, leave it a review, rate, comment it, subscribe to them. They're awesome. TheTomorrowShow.com, Mondays and Thursdays, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And tell us what you think about the show.
Absolutely.
And tell us what you think about this show. We love it, Grey's Anatomies.
Tell us everything you got.
Tell us everything. All right, so patient two.
Patient two.
Arizona. And her, ooh, okay, so.
This is a good, I actually really enjoyed this
patient.
This is a good storyline.
Yeah, did you?
I really liked this one. It was, wait, has that patient been on the show before?
I feel like she has.
I'm like.
Or she's been in other Shonda shows.
I think she's been on Grey's Anatomy before. I think she was a patient before.
You know,
I don't remember why.
And that actually happens a lot in just mm-hmm. in television shows. People can come back as someone else.
Right. That's true, yeah.
So maybe like the one person died in the first character but came back as a completely different
yeah,
character.
Yeah. But anyways, we have this
Courtney.
Courtney the accountant.
The accountant.
Who is also having quadruplets. Quadruplets. Yeah.
Quadruplets.
Yes.
Four babies.
Yes, with her husband. What's his name?
Didn't get his name.
Yeah. You're not a true fan.
The husband. I don't think they ever said his name.
I don't think they did either.
They only gave us some very specific names, but we got Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
Because she did actually play a big, good role in this. And then, actually, Warren's having a hard time for trying to find the fourth baby.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, the third.
What did you think?
Patient C.
Real quick, what did you think? What did you think was going on when he couldn't find the last baby?
I thought that one of them may have died and moved. So I thought it was going to be like a super, super dramatic, like, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. they were expecting four. After she was just so happy, like, we want to bring home four healthy babies,
uh-huh.
healthy returns, like the four returns or whatever she called them.
I was like sure it was going to be some sort of doctor error where like someone had made a mistake and told them that it was like four babies when one of them was like, just a big baby, like a giant baby or something. I was like, I thought something funny and weird was going to happen with that, but I guess that just shows my sense of humor.
See, I went the more sad, dramatic route.
Which is much more indicative of Grey's Anatomy. But,
yeah.
But one of the babies is trying to get out.
Yeah, literally moves down.
Charlie. Charles. I'm going to call him Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie.
Charlie.
It could work for either, but apparently it was the boy. It was the boy. The odd man out.
Oh, it's a play on words, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Don't worry. It took me a couple minutes to figure that out, too.
I get it now.
Yeah, the odd man out.
Oh, man. Shut it down. We're done.
So he actually forces Courtney into labor. And during that, Arizona's like, okay, we have to stop this because if one comes out, all four comes out.
The boulder rolling down the hill.
Boulder. Got to stop the boulder. But what do you think of Kreb and Arizona during this moment?
I thought they...
When they're trying to, like, figure out what to do.
They were good. I don't know. Just, I enjoyed... I like this whole storyline. It was uplifting. It made me feel... light. It was, even though it was kind of a heavy deal, it felt good. I felt like their give and take was good. I felt like it deepened their relationship a little bit. I feel like there was like some trust built. Yeah.
I liked it. I liked how Arizona had a very good storyline in this episode,
mm-hmm.
because she's been, you know, always the one going out and dating.
I want to be friends with her. Like in real life.
I like Arizona. She's fun.
I don't know why I like her so much. She seems cool.
I've always liked Arizona. Yeah. And I was very sad when she broke up with Kelly. But that's an old story. But Arizona, she had a time to shine. And she decides to deliver the one baby and sew up the cervix. Oh, my goodness. They're just hearing that is painful.
I know.
And then
trap them in there.
Keeping the other three in. Delayed delivery, so they call it.
Man.
Which is a procedure that no one has done before. And it's never been successful. Up until now.
I wonder if that's in real life, if that's happened before. Of like getting one of them out and then sewing up the cervix so that they can't get out. In real life?
I don't.
That's madness.
I can't speak to that because I personally don't know
that's
either.
That's bananas.
But that, I mean.
That's crazy
stuff.
In theory,
you think it would work.
Yeah. I guess, right?
But I guess for like, because they were very worried about
sew it up
bacterial,
so I can't get out.
Because once something has exited the body,
right.
You kind of don't want to put it back in. And just for, you know, bacteria and sepsis, so you can cause all
they
these
take
infections.
The placenta out
yeah.
and put it back in.
Placenta. Yeah, they sterilize the placenta because that's going to come out after the first baby.
Uh-huh.
And they have to sterilize the placenta and put it back in. Oh, it just sounds so painful.
I know.
Excruciating when you listen to it.
But they did it.
They did it.
It was successful.
Yeah.
They saved Charlie, little
Charlie,
the little boy. And she was successful.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this. And then especially the moment where they meet the baby for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So little.
I know.
They were having...
It was heartwarming. It made me think about when I have kids someday.
So I'm glad, like, we had a sad story with the first patient who
mm-hmm.
passed away,
mm-hmm.
but we actually had a good story with this one. It's like one dies, so one lives.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
One dies and one
gets born.
I'm
happy that it went this way, because I don't know if I could handle a death of a baby. That's, like, too sad.
A premature
for
baby.
A Thursday night.
Especially when, you know, like, there's four of them technically
mm-hmm.
involved, and you're
mm-hmm.
like, oh, shoot, if you
yes.
lose one of them,
yes.
you're going to lose another one.
But that story made, once again, it didn't push the episode along necessarily, but
mm-hmm.
the intensity of the story made the episode, you know, worth watching for sure.
Yeah. So during all that, because we know that Courtney's an accountant, she's helping Warren and Bailey out with their taxes. But what do you think of Warren during this? Because last episode, we
mm-hmm.
saw him getting chastised for his bravado and... doing an unsterile kind of
right.
operation.
Procedure. In the, yeah, yeah.
That, I mean, I get it. He had his moment. People yelled at him. He got the slap and the
mm-hmm.
rest. And then we see him and like actually doing something really good
mm-hmm.
and talking to Courtney and talking her through all of this, distracting her in a good way.
Yeah, it seems like they're taking his character and like just toying, I don't know, maybe toying with the idea of masculinity a little bit about...
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of, I don't know what his relationship is in a group of leading women, you know, and like I think they're just kind of using his character like to explore some of those, I don't know, what it looks like to be a man in a group of women,
yeah,
and how that happens.
I definitely see that, but I think that also kind of just reflects what he was in tonight's episode. Like, he's surrounded by so many strong women that he knows how to talk to women.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
It's true.
That's what they definitely showed with his character tonight. Yeah. Like, he knew Courtney was having an issue, mm-hmm. knew what to do to distract her and make her feel better and comfort her during this time of distress.
Mm-hmm. So, and he did a good job.
He did a great job.
And he did distract her.
Yeah. And Courtney is hired to do the taxes because Miranda's job switch, now that she's chief.
She's making that money.
She's making money. It's severely changing their taxes. Like, I still don't know taxes.
Uh-huh.
But I did like that. And there was that quick moment where Courtney was like, oh, well, all my clients do this. They get divorced just so they can file individual taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think Warren was considering it at any moment?
No, not really, no. That actually doesn't make sense from a tax perspective, though. Isn't it a tax advantage to get married?
Technically, yes.
So she's a liar, Courtney.
And and they have a child.
Yeah.
So that's even more.
Courtney.
So, like, you have a mortgage.
Come
on.
You
have a dependent.
She's in labor. It's okay. She didn't mean it. She didn't mean it.
Apparently the Bailey's financial bracket that she's in is so much higher than Warren is, which is severely changing how they do the taxes.
I guess that would make sure. That makes sense.
So.
I feel you.
I think it would be less stress for Warren to, and maybe the easier route if he just went by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, bringing up the divorce, which I don't think that's going to happen.
No, it's
I'll
not.
I'll just say that. No, it's not. I don't think that's going to happen. No.
But she's successful, and yay or no.
Yeah, so Courtney lives. the baby lives.
But now on to Joe and Meredith.
Yes.
That was weird to me. The whole thing was freaking weird to me.
This was the side story that I'm like, okay.
I was just like, what?
It didn't live up to what the other two patient stories were as good.
It came out of nowhere for me. Like, the intensity of, like, I get they're trying to, you know, I don't know, make it so that Joe... You know, I don't know. They're exploring the relationship between Meredith and Kareb. I get that, but it just kind of came out of nowhere for me, and it didn't really make sense.
Just me? I think it's the timing. It's just like, I don't know why that this is still a ongoing issue, and I think that's maybe it's just all these episodes where we see Joe still not really answering if she wants to be with Kareb or not, but now kind of making it up that it's Meredith's the reason why she's not with
Meredith
Kareb.
Is the reason that...
Or, like, Meredith is the reason that's, like, blocking her. Because she says, like, she's trying to move forward, and Meredith's always the one around the corner blocking
her. Is that true, though? Is it Meredith?
I don't think so. And I think that's what Joe was thinking. That was her mindset, that Meredith is her problem. And really, I don't think that's true.
Yeah, it was... It didn't... I don't know. It didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense why Meredith was so rude to Joe. And Joe's, when they got in the argument and she flipped out and said, what did she say? Go get your own boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah. Go get your, like, go call your army boyfriend.
I just felt like both Meredith's actions and Joe's reactions kind of came out of nowhere is what it felt like for me.
I loved Meredith's reaction, though. She's like, are you done?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she really didn't care.
Right.
But I liked the fact that it was Maggie and Kelly who had to tell Meredith. It's like, hey, you do treat Wilson like crap.
Mm-hmm.
And Meredith has the good argument. It's like, well, we're residents. We always serve.
Right.
We're attendees. We always treat the residents like crap. And, like, I get that, but they did bring up the point. It's like, yeah, but we like our residents.
Mm-hmm.
We give them a hard time because we can.
Because
we know we're teaching
and
them.
You're just being rude right now.
You're just doing it to be spiteful.
Just being mean.
Yeah. Literally spiteful. And so I like how they did have that realization with Meredith, and then she does sincerely apologize.
What do you think about that? Her apology, like, to me, I was like, dang, that seemed pretty sincere.
I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it, too. I'm curious why they used Joe as a vehicle to get her to that point of sincerity.
I think it was more so, let's clear any problems that those two might be having, any tension, because they, you know, they do live together. But I think this was a necessary argument slash resolve to have Joe realize where she stands with Karev. Granted, this, I mean, it had to be between Meredith and Wilson, but I think it opened to the door for Wilson to finally realize what she wants to do, if she wants to be with Karev or not.
Which is?
Which I think, yes.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I think no.
I don't really like them together, but the way that they're setting the story up, I think yes, because even now Meredith approves of Wilson, because she did say, it's like, and for the record, Wilson, I'm rooting for you,
right?
Because all the guy all the girls that Karev has been with have been crazy, died, or X, Y, and Z, and you're right now actually the only normal sane one.
Well, let me bring up the conspiracy theory again that we talked about a couple of times on here.
Okay.
It was an interesting choice of words that they wrote in there. Get your own boyfriend.
Get your own boyfriend.
Interesting choice. I'm just saying, we talked about it before. Is that even in the realm of possibility that they could be trying to, like, steer
Meredith towards Karev. Dr. Thorpe?
No, I'm sorry. I'm saying Karev. Towards Karev, which I know I know is crazy.
I don't think so.
And you hate it on. I'm not saying it's a good possibility. I'm just putting it out there. That it just. I feel like there's been a couple just a little bit pinpricks. You're like, that's kind of interesting. Maybe I'm reading into it though. Maybe I am.
Maybe I think that was a redirect to Thorpe, not Karev.
Because she did say something about, like,
boyfriend. And because we see in this whole episode that Thorpe, from the wonderful, good-looking surgeon from last week's episode, has been texting and Meredith this whole time, and Meredith is not answering the phone. So I think that literally led to, all right, Meredith, she was going to call him back. You saw her thumb was over the call back on the phone. So... And then, of course, Thorpe is, like, literally right next to her. He's like, oh, hey, you want to go out with
you? You think Thorpe is a good-looking guy?
Yeah, I'm gonna say no, yeah.
Yeah?
We said it last episode.
Okay. Well, I wasn't here last episode, so I had to watch the show at, like, last episodes at home with my wife. And my wife said that he looks like Dracula, kind of. He does kind of, like, with how sharp his beard is. I was like, he kind of does.
I think he has piercing eyes and a dark look.
I think he's a good-looking dude, but I was like, he does kind of look like Dracula. Just a tiny bit.
Okay, sure. But
maybe that's Meredith's problem. I don't know.
We digress. But I think it goes to the idea that maybe Meredith can date again.
Maybe she can.
And because we do see, it's like, hey, do you want to go out with me, Meredith? And then we get nothing, of course.
No question that is created... That will be answered next.
Because that even week. Like goes off of last week's episode. We see Thorpe wants to follow up, quote unquote, with Meredith.
Yeah, that's true.
And so we know that Thorpe always wanted to take Meredith out, and we still don't get that.
We should have gotten the answer to that question this episode, but we didn't.
Yeah,
we didn't.
Want to go out with me? Nope. Don't know the answer.
So what's just yes
I'm
or no?
I'm gonna say yes.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
I'm gonna say yes.
So he's the next big love interest for her. Yes?
Maybe not love, but maybe just someone to make her happy as of right now.
I feel like it's kind of love interest or not love interest. Maybe. You know what I'm saying?
But you do have to remember, like, a year and a half has passed. So, like, a year and a half, 2 years have passed since Derek, technically. So, I mean, that's a good amount of time for Meredith to be like, yeah.
That's not a rebound, right?
No. I said, like, yeah, enough time has passed for her to, like, start dating again.
I agree.
To do what she wants and be happy.
I agree.
I'm all for it.
I say she says yes. He's a doctor. He's a sharp dude. Right? And a military man, too.
With an authoritative side, so Kelly says.
Yes.
All right. But, of course, we can't forget April during all this, because we know that she's pregnant. But Jackson doesn't know. Oh, and then throughout this whole episode, because we know Karev in Arizona knows, and they're telling April, it's like, hey, you have to tell him. We are the ped surgeons. We know what we're talking about. For the sake of the child and for you, and for Jackson, you have to tell him.
And that was so sad to me. I like broke my heart. She didn't want to get tested because basically breaks down. She's like, I don't want, if there's bad news, I don't want to know it.
Yeah. And I get that from April because, you know, with her firstborn that, you know, they did have biological problems and like hereditary problems. So I'd say learn from the first baby.
Get tested.
And get tested again. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel bad for her because she does say, you know, this is the last bit of, I'm going to use my last bit of faith to believe that this child will be healthy and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But Jackson doesn't have faith. He's not a religious man. Jackson won't have that if you tell Jackson
mm-hmm.
if something is wrong with the baby.
So she was trying to protect Jackson.
Do you think this is good logic for her, for April? Being being a surgeon, she should know, like, for the health of the and the sake of the baby, should get tested. But she doesn't want to. She's going against doctor's orders.
Here's the deal, though: when it's that emotional and it's that, I mean, you've already had a kid that's died because mm-hmm. Because of the stuff that she would have to get tested. You know, then all logic goes out the window at that point. I don't know if there's many other issues where logic would not go out the window faster. I mean, can you blame her? You know what I'm saying?
I don't blame her. She's emotional. I've never had a child. I've never fortunately been in that position. But I say for being a surgeon, mm-hmm. she does have to think for the sake of the baby and mm-hmm. the health of the baby. Mm-hmm. She should just get tested. And it was just very surprising to me she was so adamant against it.
Yeah.
Because I think her argument for not doing it wasn't strong enough.
Mm-hmm. How does that relate to her not wanting to tell Jackson? She doesn't want to tell Jackson because she knows it'll break him if there's...
Because he still hasn't gotten over the loss of the first child.
Right.
And now knowing that there's another child...
Mm-hmm. God forbid it's unhealthy.
Now that they're divorced, quote-unquote, because I still don't think
he
signed those
papers.
No,
they're not divorced. I'm telling you that right now, they're not.
I don't think they're
divorced. No freaking way.
But Jackson's still reeling from the first one. Realizing there's a second one, I can understand he might not be in the right mindset to mm-hmm. get that news too.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
We see at the end, April does actually want to tell Jackson a little too late.
Arizona.
A little too late. Arizona.
All right.
Arizona's the one that spills the beans. Do you think
that's jacked up?
Yeah. Do you think Arizona was in the right to say something?
No. That's jacked up. That's messed up. I'm telling you that right now. Under no circumstances. That's between them two.
Yeah. And that's between doctor-patient confidentiality.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Even on a legal level.
Yeah.
Morally, ethically. Now, here's the deal. I think it's morally and ethically wrong for April to not tell Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also morally and ethically wrong for Arizona to take... That's, you know what I'm saying? This, she's meddling in other people's business. I don't care what the reason is. It's not her business.
True. And it's also that was against not just a patient, but a personal friend.
Mm-hmm.
So then...
At the very least, if you're going to do that, Arizona, you tell April, hey, mm-hmm. I'm telling him. I'm going to tell him Friday at 8 o'clock. I'm telling you right now, that's what I'm going to tell him.
I'm going to tell him.
So if you don't tell him before then...
If you don't tell him, then I'm going to tell him.
That's how you handle
it. And usually during those situations, we get that moment in episodes, but Arizona was just the one who said
it. Was kind of weird. She just kind of often did it.
We didn't see any moments leading up to it. We just saw, like, in the middle of the action. So maybe, I don't know, Arizona just happened to be in the room and Jackson walked in and be like, oh, hey.
And it looks like they gave us the previews from next week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch previews from next week?
Yes.
And it looks like they kind of... It looks like, because they gave us a shot of her saying it, and it looks like she kind of blurted it out.
Yeah,
didn't plan it. I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know. I still don't think Arizona should have told her.
No.
Or told him.
It's messed up.
Even though we know, for the morality's sake, should have. But that, again, that is April's.
He should have known.
It's April's time.
But it doesn't give Arizona the rights to do it.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Okay, same I think page. We're in that agreement.
Yes.
Okay, anything else about this episode that we may have missed, that you liked, that you didn't like? I love the moment where they were in the bathroom. The girls, Blake, Edwards and Joe were in the bathroom.
She's watching dog pee off her hands.
Yeah. And of course, Joe's complaining about Meredith, and then Edwards is done. And you're like, no, you have 10 seconds, and that's it. I never want to hear you complain about Meredith ever again.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually really good. Yeah. I was like, yeah, you go, Edwards.
It was a good little scene, yeah, absolutely.
Like, good, because we, the audience, is sick of hearing Wilson complain about Meredith,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm. We all are.
I like that moment.
That was good. Moving on to news?
Yes.
News!
Let's go to news. All right, some cool things. Jerrica Hinton, who plays Edwards, has been casted as the female lead in Shonda's new comedy pilot, Toast.
So she's gone. The article that I read said she's probably gone, right?
If it gets picked up, it would
mean... It's Shonda. It'll get picked up. Yeah, trust me.
It would mean that, like, maybe they would have to write Edwards somehow out of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Or who knows if that'd be a character rearrangement for mm-hmm. sure. Definitely in storyline. But good for Jerrica.
Yeah, congratulations.
And, like, I'm a female lead. Hello.
She's been in the AfterBuzz Studios before, hasn't she?
She has, which is actually super nice.
All right.
Yeah, so good for Jerrica. I think, you know, if you're under Shonda's wing in that aspect, like, your career can
well, you
only
get, you
go
do well in
up.
One of her shows, and then you got, like, 84 different shows you can be in.
To
so.
Get that recognition and to be, like, Shonda's telling you, it was like, hey, I want you as my female lead.
Mm-hmm.
That's saying something. Mm-hmm. So she's doing something right.
Yeah.
So good for her. And showrunners Bill Harper and Stacey McKee actually signed on a 2-year deal with ABC's television studios.
Mm-hmm.
As we know that Bill Harper and Stacey McKee, they're the executive producers and showrunners of Grey's Anatomy, which has only been picked up for renewed for
one more season.
One more season, but the executive producers have been renewed for two, pretty
so-
much.
I do think so. That doesn't necessarily mean
anything
that it's going two more seasons.
But it means if Grey's Anatomy go another two, the good chances
they'd be there.
It'll probably be going on.
It's not going to end next season.
So,
don't you guys worry.
Who knows? We know there's still another season to talk about. Some more episodes. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
But good for them. And you know the future of ABC Studios is looking pretty bright.
It is, as always.
All right. So let's get to predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, all so right. Previews. We see that we actually get the answer to this date. Is Meredith going on a
date?
In theory, we do. Because
no, we will.
I think they're gonna.
I don't think they'll make him stand out there all episode, but maybe they will. I don't know.
Yeah. What do you think will happen with April?
Oh man. She's gonna tell Jackson. Jackson will be upset.
Jackson already knows, but
well, yeah,
she's
oh, that's
gonna
true.
Validate.
She'll validate.
Just
Jackson
what
will be upset.
Arizona said.
At the end of the day, I think the baby will bring them back together.
Mm.
So I think whatever that looks like, it'll start that process. That process will be kicked off.
Okay. So what I mean. Forgive us, you know, listeners. A couple episodes ago, there was, you know, the big storyline that dropped that Owens and Riggs and the whole backstory
mm-hmm.
about the sister.
Mm-hmm.
Riggs was a part of that and went. Riggs didn't go in the helicopter.
Right.
The sister
got shot down.
Dead, shot down, passed away. And so, do you think they'll bring that back? Because we find out that storyline, but we haven't gone back to it.
I was doing a little bit of research, and apparently, yes, it will come back. So that's my understanding is next episode, what I was reading says that we will learn more about that storyline. So yes, I think it'll come back.
Okay. So do you think once that comes back that Omen and Riggs will finally get their personal issues resolved?
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll bury the hatchet.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, it makes sense. I can see them, like, teaming up to be some sort of, like, cool duo in the future.
Dude, when we saw that apparition when they were doing the synchronized
surgery.
Oh,
they were
surgery,
killing it.
They were awesome.
Freaking, oh, yeah,
let's
absolutely.
Let's bring that back.
Mm-hmm.
But first, they gotta get over themselves.
They'll start getting got over soon.
I agree. So, a lot of fun things to look forward to.
Yes.
So, in the meantime, where can everyone keep following you?
J.F. Howard.
J.F. Howard, and you can follow me on Twitter @SerafiniTV. You can follow all of us here, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those fun places @ AfterBuzz TV. Check out Kevin and Maria's show. The Tomorrow Show.
The Tomorrow Show.
Check it out, thetomorrowshow.com. Thank you all for listening. Rate, comment, subscribe, download iTunes, YouTube, all those fun places. Let us know what you think. And we'll keep talking to you if you keep talking to us. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.